Good morning. It is my privilege and honor to introduce my friend, Evan Dunn. Evan just finished a Bachelor of Religious Education with a focus in counseling and human services, completed a professional certificate in addictions counseling, and also required a professional designation of AAC, which is Associate Addiction Counselor designation, with the Canadian Addictions Counseling Certification Federation. Evan worked for 3 years at faith-based charity called Youth Unlimited, and his position involved fund development, one-on-one youth work, program planning, and speaking on behalf of the charity. He also worked as a part-time as a relief behavior counselor at Stonehenge Therapeutic Community in Guelph, and he has been involved at One Roof and two local high schools for the past 3 years. In terms of education, he's currently working on a master's program in spiritual care and psychotherapy, part-time at Laurier University. It's his goal to become a psychotherapist. He's a very busy man with school and work. Averaging week involves 24 hours of work and about 20 hours of studying, I'm sure, plus. And in his spare time, he performs stand-up comedy, attends church in Cambridge, and spends valuable time with family and loved ones. Please welcome Evan Dunn.
Thanks, Bonnie. Hi, how's it going? It's a real honor and privilege to be here. I'm really grateful to share what One Roof Youth Services does for youth in the region. And the reason that Bonnie gave me such a nice intro is to juxtapose my experience of being homeless and being drug addicted as a teenager to where I am now. And where I am now is a place of much more healthy living, and I'm very grateful. But now I'm going to share my story of how I wasn't always living this way. And I believe that God interceded in my life in a profound way and brought me to faith in Christ, and that I was benefited along the way by people that God specifically put in my path in order to help me. And it is a joy and honor to just share what One Roof Youth Services can do and does do for youth in our region. So here's my story. Please bear with me. I'll take my coat off too. It's getting kind of warm in here. Thanks. So earlier this week, I was on Facebook, and we all have that terror of when Facebook does this program called Facebook Memories, and all of a sudden you're reminded of something you said or a picture taken of you from 9 years ago, 7 years ago, and sometimes it's really embarrassing. But I was recently looking at Facebook Memories, and I had made a post about 8 years ago during a very hard time in my life. I was homeless. And in the comment, I had wrote, all I ever needed was a second chance. And One Roof was that second chance for me. If you're not sure what Facebook is, you might know it as the way my mom describes it, the Facebook. That's for the older generation here. I was a teenager who accessed One Roof Youth Services. I experienced homelessness and drug addiction. I have ADHD, and if you're not familiar with ADHD stands for, it's attention deficit. What was I talking about again? That's an ADHD joke. I also have obsessive compulsive disorder. I don't have any compulsive behaviors anymore, but I do have a lot of obsessive thoughts, and I have a learning difference. My childhood involved two loving parents, a Christian private school, sports, and a fairly normal upbringing. Even though I was privileged, I still experienced issues, though. Due to my ADHD, I was constantly kicked out of class, in trouble, and often in detention. My life took a turn for the worst when I entered high school. At the time, I had experienced violence in a very traumatic way. I lost all trust in adults, and authoritative figures in my life. I was upset with my parents and for people that were supposed to take care of me because they weren't able to prevent what happened. When I entered high school, I hardly had any friends. Everyone bullied me, it felt. I was made fun of for my red hair, called names, physically assaulted, and left out of peer social settings. I became anxious and depressed. I felt like I had no control. Every single day I thought about ending my life with suicide. At the end of grade 9, I had an experience where I was taken advantage of sexually by a fellow peer, with the promise that if I performed specific sexual acts, that I would be invited to a party. I just wanted a friend. I was so alone. I went along with it. I agreed. It didn't feel traumatic at the time. It was just a major blow to my self-esteem. I felt shame, regret, and I kept that dark secret to myself for many years. I couldn't tell anyone. I didn't want them to think less of me. I was embarrassed. And even though those things happened to you and happened to me and happened to different people, at the time, sometimes you feel personally responsible for the abuse that you've succumbed to. I felt like it should have been prevented by acting out. I felt like I wasn't masculine enough. I should have done something to prevent it. I started stealing. I couldn't find a job to pay for cool clothes. I sold drugs. I wanted to fit in so bad. Eventually, I began to abuse drugs and alcohol. I realized that drugs numb my emotional pain and help me forget bad memories. At this point, I wasn't allowed to live at home. I was a bad influence on my siblings, obviously, and my behavior was very problematic. This is where my experience with homelessness began. The longer I was homeless, the more I could feel my ability to feel empathy disintegrate. I felt my anger increase, and I was losing my sense of who I was because I knew myself in relation to those around me, such as my classmates, my friends, my peers, my teachers. They were all gone. I was just a homeless kid at that point. With increased exposure to older peers involved in criminal activity, and by just a homeless kid, I don't actually think of youth who experience homelessness as just homeless kids, but people in my life viewed me that way. They viewed me as just a homeless kid. That was the language, because obviously in their eyes, I deserved what had happened to me. But with increased exposure to older peers involved in criminal activity such as assaults, carrying weapons, drug dealing, and more exposure to violence and human trafficking, I became desensitized to horrible realities. My ability to feel empathy disappeared. On the coldest days, I would wear 3 pairs of pants to protect myself from the elements. I would smoke cigarette butts I found on the ground. I would steal to get food. And at 17, I saw human trafficking of teenagers, specifically teenage girls. I still see the pain in the eyes of those who were oppressed. I smell the cigarettes, the body odor, and the alcohol. Images of hurting faces still scar my memory. One particular experience involved a friend of mine, a girl, whom I won't name. I knew the 2 men responsible for her sexual exploitation. She was addicted to methamphetamines. I used to get high with her. One day, she just went missing. All I remember from that experience, other than what I mentioned, is her brother approaching me at City Hall and asking me the stark question, "Have you seen my sister?" I saw the trembling in his eyes, the tears in his eyes, the trembling on his lips, the worry on his face, and that question, "Have you seen my sister?" I can't find her. By this time, I was 17, living at One Roof Youth Services. With 2 failed attempts at rehab, hospitalized many times in mental health units due to overdoses, and with several attempts at my own life, I was tired and I was broken. I needed a second chance. One Roof was there to give me a second chance. One Roof treated me with care and dignity. I was involved in an employment program they had called Lunchbox. At this time, I was trying to get into my third rehab. And the stability that this job provided gave me a healthy structure. During my time in the program, I stopped using harder drugs like opiates, cough syrups, benzodiazepines, pills, etc. Since it was taking so long to get into my third rehab, I realized a stable long-term group home may benefit me. So I applied to get into a special group home at 17, which is very hard to do because you aren't, when you're homeless at 17, you're a kid. You lack living experience that's needed in order to succeed normally. Unless you've already started with a large sum of money, it's difficult to get back on your feet. According to the Crown, you're not their problem. And according to OW, it's just, let's get you housing right away. But what you need is a loving parent. What you need is someone to pat you on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, you're 17 and you just need a hug. You need someone to listen to you and help you. But when you're 17 and homeless or 16 and homeless, you fall through the cracks. So I applied to get into a special group home that took people under OW and gave them a stable living environment. One Roof helped me get into this facility. I was so grateful. But after my first night at the group home, even though I had not broken any rule or brought any drugs, I was told by the manager of the group home that I was not welcome. I was told I wasn't a good fit. I was devastated. Another opportunity ripped out from under my feet, yet One Roof Youth Services was there for me, and they emphasized with what had happened. They continued to give me a place to stay. My prayers were answered shortly after. I was told that my application to get into rehab was accepted. And at 18, I got into a long-term faith-based recovery center called Teen Challenge. When a youth becomes homeless, they leave behind relationships that have social and economic benefits. They're unable to tackle the issues that are too challenging because they lack the life experience. Sometimes youth can't get along with their caregivers or parents. This can be superficially understood as the fault for their homelessness, but that is inherently false. It's not cut and dry like that. The maladaptive behavior that propels youth into homelessness has logical underlying factors. And I'm not saying that all youth who are homeless have misbehaved either. It's way more multifaceted than that. But on the misbehavior topic again, youth misbehave. They do. And their perceived misbehavior has meaning to them, real meaning. Their misbehavior is often reactionary, though. Reactionary to various circumstances like abuse, family dysfunctions, mental health issues, or bullying. I was a youth that misbehaved. I couldn't get along with others. I was expelled twice and suspended from school on multiple occasions. But there was more to my story than just misbehavior. When I became homeless at 16, there was a disruption to my worldview, and the trauma I had altered my perception of self and how I should relate to other human beings. To deal with the stress of my homelessness, my drug use increased. I stopped maturing and entered into crisis mode, constantly living in survival mode. When my physiological needs and safety needs were threatened by being homeless, I became incapable of growing properly, like other youth in my peer group who were not experiencing homelessness. When these needs weren't being met, I could not grow. But One Roof helped me with this. The staff and the programming they offered helped me to believe in myself again. One Roof was there for me by providing staff to talk to me and not to judge me. There was an attitude I recognized in many people in my life during my troubles. It was an attitude of Evan deserved this to happen to him. Many people at that time perceived and talked to me like I was just a homeless, drug-addicted teenager. But to One Roof, I was more than that. And to God, I was more than that. God saw beyond what I was going through. One roof saw beyond what I was going through. They saw past my issues. They saw my humanity. Teens are teens before they're homeless. I like to enforce the idea that youth who experience homelessness should have their personhood put before their categorization of being homeless. To describe someone as homeless or drug addicted and then add a homeless or drug addicted youth has latent meaning in it, meaning that is often negative and makes the sad reality more palatable for people to hear. It's easier to swallow the idea of a youth living in poverty in an urban setting by describing them as a homeless youth than it is to think of them as youth first. Because seeing them as young people makes people feel more accountable. And often society doesn't want to feel accountable. There isn't homeless youth at One Roof. There's just youth. Youth who need help, care, support, and resources, access to resources, so that they can reach their full potential as human beings. Try to imagine your child homeless, or your friend's child, or your neighbor's child, to come to a better understanding of who really accesses the services that organizations like One Roof provide. Now imagine this youth, scared, cold, alone, afraid, not having a bed, doesn't go to school, has a lack of nutritious food. And now imagine them desperately wanting to fit in, but can't. That's how I felt. And that's how so many youth feel at One Roof, and so many youth feel in our region. Because there is a plethora of homeless youth in our region from the ages of 14 to 25. It's kids. There are homeless kids in your neighborhood. And I never saw that as a teen growing up living in a nice, cozy, warm home until I was homeless. And I recognized that outside my front doorstep was a world of hurt and pain of young people in Waterloo, a rich, rich area. I was shocked. These are youth that don't have sustainable access to housing. And they aren't just somebody's friend or somebody's daughter or somebody's son. They are somebody. First and foremost, and we are somebody. And because we're somebody, we're worthwhile, valuable, and inherently worthy of dignity and value. And we're all made in God's image, all of us. I believe in the value of equity. Equality is helpful in the right context, but it is not good enough to say, let's treat everyone fairly in the context of homelessness. We can't treat everyone the same because humans lack the ability to be fully objective. We truly do. Only God can be objective fully. It would not work to treat everyone equally because everybody has different needs. Youth who are homeless have very specific needs. It's imperative that funds, special programs, and extra support are needed for these youth to regain stability in their lives. One Roof does a marvelous job at meeting youth, and they met me where we're at. They meet youth where they are at. They validate their experiences, show empathy, and give opportunities for youth to succeed when they choose to use the resources available to them. I had nothing when I came to One Roof except regret, guilt, loss, shame, and frustration. And when I was finally ready to change, there was a lack of trust in me from my previous community and reasonably slow. So, because I had very poor behavior, but still, I couldn't gain my previous community's support. I had burnt that bridge. I was not entirely responsible for why I became homeless and drug addicted. I'm not. But it is and was my sole responsibility to do something about it and to make positive changes, 100%. But I couldn't have done it alone. My life would not have turned out this way if it weren't for the staff, volunteers, funders of One Roof, and people like you that invite organizations like One Roof to come speak in their congregations because you care. I am beyond encouraged to see a room full of people who care about the homeless. If you didn't care, I wouldn't have been invited here. It's incredible. It's a good thing to be part of the solution and to advocate on behalf of youth. And as a person who's benefited by altruistic support from people like yourselves and congregations like yourselves, thank you. I am eternally grateful. And I am so happy that we were invited here today to share. And you, as a congregation, this church has donated lots of money and resources and volunteer work to One Roof over the years. Thank you. If it weren't for One Roof, I'd be dead. So thank you so much. Thank you for having faith in us. Anyways, that's all I have to say. Have a great day.
Evan, thank you for your vulnerability, your honesty, your truth. It's a small thank you, but we so appreciate you sharing your message with us. It reminds us of how we are all deeply connected. And I wonder, we usually have a question and answer. Are you comfortable?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Absolutely. Does anybody have any questions for Bonnie, for Evan? Stunned silence is good too. Mary.
I just want to give him a hug.
Are you cool? Cool with hug?
I love hugs.
Okay.
Bonnie, I'm just wondering if One Roof puts a cap on the time frame that a youth can stay in the facility.
Not really. Oh. Are we right? Not really. So you want to know how long they can stay? The only thing is they age out at 25, so after 25 they're not allowed, on the day of their birthday, they are not allowed to access One Roof Youth Services. But there really isn't a timeline. We, like Evan said, every youth is treated and accepted differently, or have different needs, so it all is based on where they're at that point. So no. We have a 17-bed co-ed shelter, and we like to be able to help them with stability and housing over, we hope, in a three-month time period, but there really isn't a time frame, right, Evan? There's no time frame at One Roof.
No.
No. And if they're between the ages of 12 and 25, they're able to stay.
Is 17 beds enough?
Absolutely not. No, they're full every night. There are not empty beds at One Roof Youth Services. No.
Bonnie, does One Roof still do the, I think it was the homestays, like the home where families...
Host homes,
that's it.
Yes, we have a program. It's actually, it was a pilot project funded by the government. And host home providers are people in the community who provide housing for youth who have entered the shelter for the first time. We don't want them there. We want to get them out into the community. We don't want them in the street life scene. So it is called a prevention and diversion program where youth are paired with someone in the community that has a spare bedroom. It's kind of like a room and board. The host home providers do get some sort of monetary compensation for their stay. So we have two host home provider coordinators at One Roof Youth Services, and they coordinate. Right now we have, I think, 12 homes within the community that are open to youth.
Get my steps in.
I remember when One Roof began. For anyhow, I wonder where you're located. Are you centrally located in Kitchener, or?
We're at 242 Queen Street South, yeah. Okay. Right downtown. But we are moving locations in the new year. We're hoping.
We have had much to think about.
It takes time for us to process.
But we are so eternally grateful for the wisdom, for the grace, for the life that you have shared with us today. Thank you so much, both of you. Thank you.